Living Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. All right, my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim. I'm with those supplications that are associated with this season of Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice. I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, the 30th of May 2026, corresponding to the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah, 1447 AH. It is the second Saturday of Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th and last month of the Hijjah year, 1447 AH. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. We are on the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq, that is the days of slaughter for Eid al-Adha. Today is 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah, like I said earlier. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a successful Eid celebration. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the wherewithal to witness many more of it in our lifetime. Allahumma ameen. You're welcome to this program. The program is Everyday Muslim Show, and on this program we try to address misconceptions about Islam, force a peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, in Quran Surah Al-Hajj, Quran chapter 22, verse 37, Allah says, it is neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah, but it is the piety from you that reaches Him. Thus, we have made them, that is those sacrificial animals, subject to you, that you may magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance to you, and give glad tidings, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the doers of good. This program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to view the studio live. Later on in the program, we'll open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. The program again is Everyday Muslim, and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. We are using this opportunity to call for your adverts and sponsorship to sustain this program. Yes, this is a platform that reaches out to the whole world on terrestrial platform as well as the online platform on Facebook, on YouTube, and the likes like that. So this is a wonderful opportunity for you to bring your products and services as well as programs and any event that you have to the awareness of the whole world. Inshallah, you'll never regret doing so. So we look forward to your you know, partnership with us so that we can keep the program going. Today, inshallah, I want to discuss something that relates to the Eid. You know, we're still in the season of Eid. I'm sure a lot of people have been picking their teeth for some days now because of the amount of meat they have consumed. But then, today I want to look at beyond the meat, the true spirit of Eid al-Adha. Beyond the meat, the true spirit of Eid al-Adha. And our guest is very much here with us in the studio, Hajia Sakina Adefumila Asahi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hajia.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, so how was the Eid at your end?
Alhamdulillah. And yours?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan for the gift of meat. Yes, we're still accepting meat. Yes, if you still have it, seriously, yes, it is, once a year, opportunity. So, if you still have your meat, we are still very much here at Women Radio. You can bring it very much, here. Our studio is along, Arepo Road here, Beachland, here in Arepo. So bring your meat to us. We want to let us share in this season of Eid. But then today, like I said, we want to discuss something that beyond the Eid itself, what exactly is the true spirit of Eid al-Adha? So our guest, Hajia Sakina Adefumila Asahi, is a remarkable individual. For those of us probably meeting her for the first time, she is a regular face on this platform. A lot of people, already know her. But in case it's possible that we have people that are listening to us for the first time. So she is a remarkable individual with a diverse role and talents. She's not only a Muslimah, she's a mother, she's a devoted Muslimah who strives to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously. In addition to her personal commitment, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. So you can say an educational consultant, a marriage counselor. She's also an entrepreneur, a woman of many parts. Yeah. So demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation, her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding to, a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of Lagos State University of Education, LASUED, formerly known as Adeniran Ogunsanya College of Education, LQED. So, and one of her favorite statements is, "What is my body way to enter Jahannam, which is the fire of hell? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that." This statement reflects her deep commitment to her faith and serves as a reminder of the importance of one's spiritual journey. So Hajia, today we want to look at beyond the meat, the true spirit of Eid al-Adha. As we remain in the blessed atmosphere of Eid al-Adha, today marking the third day after Eid, still within the sacred days of Tashrik, the joy of celebration continues across homes, families, and communities. These are days of gratitude, reflection, and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Muslims are encouraged not only to enjoy Allah's blessings, but also remain spiritually conscious. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully reminded us the purpose of this is when he said, "The days of Tashrik are days of eating, drinking, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." You find this tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih Muslim. This narration places a powerful balance before us. Enjoyment of lawful blessings alongside continuous remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a reminder that Eid is not just about the external observation or celebration, but also about internal reflection and spiritual renewal. So as we reflect on the meaning of sacrifice, obedience, and devotion demonstrated by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we are led to ask ourselves a deeper question about our own lives and commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and that brings us to our reflection for today, Hajia. This Eid, beyond the meat and celebration, so what personal sacrifices do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting from us as individuals, as believers, as those who truly claim that we submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Shroi, Sadr wa Yasr al-Hamri, wa ulul huqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We give all thanks and adoration to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I know some people that went for Hajj last year, and they are no longer on the surface of the Hajj
Allahu
today.
Akbar.
And for Allah to have spared our life till this moment, it's what has given thanks to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
So it is not about the celebration. It is not about the meat. It is not about wearing of new clothes.
Yeah.
It's about going back to our role model, which is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing I picked when I was a child from him is trust. The trust in his creator, like he believed so much in Allah. He trusted him so much. Like, you gave me something and you still want it back. Today, it is even, I look at small children sometimes when you give them something, I say, okay, give me back. They don't want, they insist, like,
it's mine.
Yes.
It's so mine. No, it's not even a case of do you still want it back. It's mine. The ownership has transferred. So why do you want my biscuits?
Exactly. So, you know, for somebody to now trust, if you now see a child that trusts you to that extent that can still return back that biscuit, you tend to hold that child in a very
high esteem.
So for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was trust, total obedience, selflessness, patience, and commitment. A lot of qualities that you can think of. So if today, if we don't think about the celebration alone, we should think of things that we can sacrifice as human beings as well. Can we sacrifice our wealth? Because, you know, people, Yoruba, we say, money is a mustache. You can't just plug it off. So what are you actually sacrificing for Allah at this moment? Sometimes it is not about the meat. It's not, yes, I have money to buy the meat. I want to, you know, people do a lot of celebration. But what is that thing that you actually want to sacrifice for Allah? Is it the ego you have in you? Is it anger? Is it, just name it. You know yourself better. Do that inner research and think of something you can let go at this moment. Let it just be one thing at a time. So that could make your own celebration worthwhile as well. Like you actually giving this thing to Allah. I want to leave it. You know, dry it and tell Allah you want to leave this thing for his sake. And let's see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate you just the way he has compensated Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam.
That's remarkable. Because I'm trying to imagine a situation where people have a lot of things, and even some will say, do you think this works, you know, the while? Even when you say you want to spend, I like, well, people try to spend the least of what they have.
Yeah.
Or the most unimportant thing, I can let go of this, and this one is no longer useful to me, so I can let go. But here now, you're talking about something very valuable to us.
Yeah.
Imagine just like the first Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was ready to sacrifice, you know, something that is very valuable to me at that point in time. This was something that he waited for the only one, the only child he had at that point, which he waited for over 100 years, you know, before he was able to get that. And at the same time, he was willing to let go. So I'm trying to imagine, and it's something that we really need to reflect deeply.
And
it is
even a question that you don't make promises out of desperation.
Okay.
When you're making dua or you're asking for something, like even within ourselves, sometimes you want to ask for something and you make some commitment
beyond your capacity, just because out of desperation.
Yes,
like you
out
said.
Of desperation. So you should think twice when you're asking Allah for something. Don't make promises, because Allah will actually test you if you're actually going to be steadfast with your promise and commitment. So whatever you're doing, try to at least try to be to manage within your capacity, and think even if you can do more, just limit it to, so that expectation hurts, so that you won't expect that you are giving this or you are expected to give this and you can't give up to that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our fears.
Allahumma, I mean, now you're talking about those that have, especially, and they are willing to let go. We're looking at this aid and the situation of people around us. Here we are, we have a situation of economic challenges where people feel, you know, they're under a lot of societal pressure. Some feel dejected, some feel awkward, some feel lethargic, some feel sad that others are slaughtering animals, others are traveling, I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have what it takes. So how can believers still keep the true spirit of Eid without feeling inadequate because of the societal pressure or occasioned by the economic hardships that they're going through?
Alhamdulillah. Let us still go back to Prophet Ibrahim as a role model. Like even Prophet Muhammad refers to him as a role model. If we look at what he practiced during those time, you will notice contentment. Contentment in the sense that he was contented with what he has. We should look at the foundation of Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha didn't start with celebration of clothes. I was standing beside my daughter on the day of Eid, and when the imam was about to slaughter the ram,
she was looking, and I said, okay, look at the man. This is what is going to happen. She was looking at the process whereby the ram was being tied. She started feeling somehow. Then I said, okay, let's just assume he's a child. Do you think he will still be alive by this time? She said, no. You know, she felt that remorseful because we attach other importance. It is not about the celebration. It is not, it's just common sense. It's just common reasoning. If a child was supposed to be slaughtered, would the mother have thought of buying clothes? Would the father have thought of buying clothes? Everybody would be dejected. Everybody would be scattered. So you don't need to be told as somebody that wants to slaughter them, not to plait your hair, not to barb your hair, not to clip your nails, not to, sometimes will just come naturally. Look at,
the have you ever seen a case?
Yes, it will be overwhelming when you see, sometimes you see mothers when their child is sick, you will see them, they are scattered.
They look haggard.
Some doesn't even take their bath. You because understand?
When you're talking about the life of a child?
So, if Eid al-Adha, we have come to communicate with our children, communicate with ourselves, or we come to sit down before Eid al-Adha, that what are the lessons? What are the foundations of that celebration? What brought about it? I think we'll have another kind of
approach
and conception about it. So instead of the economic situation, we wouldn't even be thinking of that. Look at all the blessings in those first 10 days. Acceptance of prayer, fasting on the day of Arafah, having the reward of 2 years, and some other things. And Allah says on that day of Arafah, He will release your name from the people of Fire if your name was to be in it. You understand? So there are a lot of things that are attached to that celebration. And that those are the things that you should look up to. So it is not about you getting new clothes. It is not about you getting ram. It is not even a must. Like if it was supposed to be a child that was supposed to be killed, many people wouldn't have even given birth. Once the wife said, I've conceived, we'll say, just go and terminate it because I cannot cry. I cannot cry next year.
I can't imagine.
It's better that you just terminate it. Or everybody will take precaution of not even giving birth to children. Like, I don't need to even give birth to children so that I will not even cry.
Yeah, so I don't have to go through this.
I know
trauma.
That men, even men will cry. It's not a matter of, I'm a man, I know, you will cry. When you see your child being slaughtered, or you have to even be the one to slaughter that child. And some child will be like, are you this man? I will run away before you even get hold of
Is it about running away? Even playing a fast one on the man that before you came,
understand? So, at this stage, I know that it will not even be about buying new clothes. Let's have a kind of conception, mentality.
Visualize the situation of Prophet Ibrahim and empathize with him, put ourselves in such a situation and imagine, would you be feeling dejected because you don't have money for him?
When so you're talking about that doesn't have child at that time, precious. If it was supposed to be child, they will even be happy. Thank God we don't have any child to kill this year. God too have understood that we don't have a child to kill. Sure, you understand? So it is not about, it is us attaching so much importance to new clothes. Yes, Islam wants us to wear beautiful. If you have clothes that you have worn years before, you want to wear it on that, just make it neat. Islam is, you know, the Prophet Hassan taught about atohar, purity. Just make it neat. Wear it to it. Nobody will know. It's because you are looking at somebody that you feel that somebody will be looking at you. If you don't have any problem with anybody, go to Eid, come back, praise Allah, give thanks to Allah that you're still alive, you're not on the sick bed, you have little things to eat at home. Walillah ila hamd.
Even those in prison will not even think of anything like that. All right. Now, as a follow-up to that, now, it seems truly then that many families are actually, we have misconstrued the true essence of Eid. We have forgotten the essence of Eid in itself. And so the question then is, so do you think many families are raising their children to understand the spiritual meaning of Eid, or we just are focused more on the celebration itself?
Truly these days we focus more on the celebration. And it shouldn't be. Because I remember that when we were still very small, I'm still very small anyway. When we go to madrasa, immediately after Ramadan, we resume madrasa. You know, the ustaz, they will sit us down, tell us, they will start telling us the story of, once we finish with our normal booklet, then they will start sitting us down and telling us about the story of Prophet Ibrahim. And that was what brought about the lessons. When I was still a teacher in schools, I tried to attach so much importance in letting those children understand the celebration behind it. I remember what some years when I was still a teacher, I was given a role to play to teach children about choreography. Okay. And I felt that it was close to heat. So I did something so
unique
that I went to Lasso of recent and I saw a girl, like three girls, they came to meet me. I was like, ah, Mrs. Sai, this and that. And, you know, they remembered that incident. I went to Oshodi, bought clothes, white clothes, bought this Aga Sherif, made them understand, you know, we did something like Abba, and it was this Islamic Nasheed of miles away, oceans apart, never in my mind, but close to my heart. And, you know, those children felt it. I felt so honored. I remember some parents coming to meet me and say, ah, inshallah, that Hajjallah will make it easy. You know, when we came out with the dressing, the children felt like, I remember that during the Eid, they told their parents not to buy clothes for them, that they want to wear that particular clothes to Eid. You understand? So sometimes you need to put into the children. I watched a video a few days to Eid. A woman that was homeschooling his son did some kind of arch rites inside the house. It was not something extraordinary. It was just like ruling lines, saying this is Muzdalifa, this is Safa and Marwa. The boy was just moving from one chair and to the other chair, and he was wearing his white robe, ihram, and he was, you know, he was putting on his ID card like somebody that was going to Hajj. I saw the video. These are little concepts that make children feel attached and know the importance of that celebration, not about the meat. And we should stop this mindset of, we just need to kill the ram. No, if you do to this year, you can't do next year. Allah has not hold you to ransom. Because Allah has said, La you can live for law with nothing. He loves her. So if you don't have the capacity, or there are some more important things that Allah wants you to attend to.
In case we have the problem, because some people don't know, that statement is, Allah has not placed a burden beyond the capacity of an individual. So Allah will not burden you with what
He has not placed,
you know,
He has not given
what
to
you don't have the capacity to undertake. So
I'm just up no crying for that. So, you know, we don't Allah is not Allah has seen everything. You don't tell Allah that I have to do this. No, He's a just God. He knows when you have the capacity. Those little, you might even not have reward, like somebody that doesn't even kill anything. Sometimes your intention matters. Just place your intentions right. Do what is expected of you, not a must. This religion that Allah has given to us, Inna Dinna Yusru, is a religion of ease. And there are times that Allah will give you rules. He will give you commandments. When you don't have the capacity to fulfill that commandment, there's still an exemption. That's why we have the laluri that, okay, we don't want this to be this, but it has exemptions. Like, as a Muslim, we know we don't eat pork. But Islam says if you are traveling and you are hungry, you find yourself in an environment where you need to eat. The Prophet even encouraged you to take out of it because you don't know the next place what you meet there. But immediately you see the lawful things. Alhamdulillah, ala ni'mati al-Islam. We thank God because Islam will always give you alternative. It is the best so far because it comes with ease. Don't disturb yourself. Allah has not placed on you a burden more than you have the capacity. So you should know at every point in time you don't have money to kill ram. Make your family happy. Do the little things that matters. And you're fine. Allah sees your intention. You might even, with your intention, you might find in your booklet on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection,
that you have
slaughtered a ram.
Allah Akbar. Well, that's what Ajay is saying. You have a consolation. Let me just tell you. The Prophet ﷺ has already told you. He has actually sacrificed for you, if you don't know. Because it was recorded in history that Prophet ﷺ sacrificed one animal for his family. And sacrificed an animal. I said, this is for those who don't have the capacity to do so in my ummah. So he has already sacrificed for you. So don't worry.
So
don't bother yourself. All right.
Just have good intention. And in your booklet, you will find something.
Just remain grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are so many things to be grateful for.
Of course. You
beyond
have good
just
health,
the meat.
Your children are not sick. You're not
some
in the hospital. You're not in the prison.
Some people have to kill thousands of ram.
Of course.
They have the good health. And they will tell you they are ready to trade. They can trade everything
of course
just for that, you know,
of
good
course
health. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Now looking at that now, because you just talked about those who probably might be feeling dejected and things like that. Now so during this Eid, we had people that they really they're struggling.
Okay.
They're struggling silently, but then they keep the facade, you know, the perception, or they keep that smiling face, and they did not allow that to overwhelm them. So what responsibility do we have towards them as believers, those people who don't have but will never appear as though they don't have? They won't ask, they won't disturb you. If you give them, they'll accept. If you don't give, they'll alhamdulillah, okay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers, how should we relate with them? What exactly is our responsibility towards them?
Alhamdulillah, Islam is so beautiful. That's right. What I can say, because the Prophet has told us that without celebration, without Eid, you don't go to bed sleeping as a Muslim. 40 houses in your front, on your left hand side, on the left, on the right hand side, the left hand side, and your back should not go to bed. You should not eat while other goes to bed hungry. So you have a lot of rights to fulfill. So if you know this Muslim, even the Prophet has encouraged us that if a rich man on a horse, well dressed, come to meet you and say, please give me something, the Prophet says, you should give.
If you have.
If you have it, please
don't
give.
Don't look at
that. No, you are like so somebody like
that. Yeah, I'm trekking. I'm using my own Futuajin and Legmozin. And you are using your own, big ride. And you're still asking of me, are you trying to insult me? Are you trying to embarrass me? Or you just want to, how do I put it?
I remember a story I read online that says that one man said he was going in his car that day and he didn't have money to buy fuel in his car. And he approached somebody and the person gave him 10,000. And the fuel this guy was actually trying to get a contract. After so many years, he got the man and he was able to, do something great. That man said, at first when he asked him for money, he was like, maybe he was pulling his leg. Okay, let me just give him that money. Sometimes it means you can't have it all in the race of life. There are days Allah will show you that he's the one. And like Imam Buhari says, there are days for you and days against you. So if you know that as human, you will, for those that will not ask, Islam has portioned the lamb that you are going to kill. Those that are entitled to it, you should even eat part of it. Not that you will sacrifice, I will not eat out of it. You understand? You will eat out of it, give your family, give those that will ask, those that will not ask, and you know that they actually need
Allah.
So Islam has, it's just like your wasiya, your will. Islam has helped you to portion it. So if you know you are going to slaughter a ram, or you are not even slaughtering a ram, if you have, that is the essence of it. Even during Eid al-Fitr, you are asked to go and give jaka, so that nobody will celebrate Eid in sadness. So if you have now done that as a Muslim, and you, even without you using that to hack something from Allah, can you imagine if you make some homes happy, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely reward you and make you too happy in return. We have seen people that okay, this person is a single mother. I just give you this money, and you can quantify the happiness they will have. So even if they don't say a word, you can imagine the kind of level of prayer, the reward that is awaiting you for making that Eid memorable for them.
Because it's coming from the heart.
Exactly. You don't even need to ask of it, because it's a well-prepared prayer that they are actually dishing out to you, because each time they are happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, he asked, you didn't help me when I came to meet you. Say, Allah, you cannot ask for help. If you call, I will give it to you. Say, I sent you to a person, but you didn't give that person.
Allah,
so
Allah.
May Allah is our fear. So Islam is, everything is already well planned. It's a complete way of life. May Allah make it easy for
Allahumma
us.
Allahumma, I mean, well, just as a reminder to those of you who are listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning these, sacrificial animals that, at Eid, Allah says, وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا, and eat out of it. وَأَطِعِمُ الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَلِ, and give to those who don't have, they will never ask. And give to those who don't have, and they would ask, Alaji, my layer me too. I am coming, and I will come and take the meat.
Yes,
you will give them. But there are some people they don't have, but will never ask you. So it's for you to be observant and conscious of such people within your community.
We even know them. We know that.
Sometimes we know them. These people did not have. This person did not slop.
They are just contented.
This person did not travel, did not even do anything, but then he's on his own. So we should take care of such people too, so that it's not only those who actually ask. There are some people that are very shy.
And don't feel irritated if people ask.
Yes.
If they ask, don't feel irritated.
Yes, because for some people are like...
It's a Rahman. They're actually doing you good, not you doing them good.
Sincerely, because they're actually opening up opportunity for you to actually get rewards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it for us. So, we'll be going on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us. Alright, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. And today, we are discussing Beyond the Meat, the True Spirit of Eid al-Adha. Like you know, we're still within the season of the Eid al-Adha, the Eid, the celebration that involves, sacrifice of, animals to celebrate, this season. We are doing this in commemoration of the sacrifice that was made by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for passing the test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him to pass through. So we're saying here that beyond the meat, what exactly is the true spirit of Eid al-Adha? And our guest discussant is Hajia Sakina Adifumullah Saeed, who is an educational consultant, a marriage counselor, an entrepreneur, and a handwriting expert. She is a graduate of Lagos State University of Education, LASUED, formerly known as Adenora Ogunsanya College of Education. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. The toll-free line for female callers is 0800-1235-917. That is 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp through the number 0815-5917-917. That is 0815-5917-917. Program is Everyday Muslim, and it is brought to you by MPAC in partnership with Women Radio at 1.7 FM. Program is streaming live on YouTube at the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page and join to view the studio live. You can also send in your comments to the live feeds on YouTube. So, we are waiting for your calls and your messages. At the same time, also using this opportunity to tell you that we need your support and assistance to keep this program going. So we are asking for your support in terms of sponsorship, in terms of advert placement. Come partner with us and bring your products, services, programs, and whatsoever activities that you're engaging in to the awareness of the whole world, and you will never regret doing so. So we would love to have you partner with us to keep this program going. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to a wider audience, for them to understand Islam better, beyond just what probably what you hear in the news and so many propaganda going on out there about Islam and Muslims. So it is an opportunity for you to even say clarification of some things that probably you hear or you see or you perceive some people doing, and you think that probably is this Islam or not. You're confused. This is an opportunity for you to actually get those questions answered. So we are waiting for your calls and messages. The number again is 07000-917-917. And for the female callers, because this is Women Radio, want to appreciate our women and want you to be part of this. So the toll free line for you to call is 0800-1235-917. Excuse me. So you can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 08155-917-917. Excuse me. Oh, thank you. All right, we are in the era of social media. And we know today that many people flaunt whatever they have on social media. So we have a situation where people would try to, how do I put it now, show to the world that I have this. If you've got it, flaunt it. So they have that mentality. So now I want to ask you, Aja, that has social media changed it from a season of sacrifice and gratitude into a season of competition and showmanship?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. When we were children, the zeal is just get things to where to hit. Nobody will give you any problem, because sometimes you just get to the heat, everybody leaves. Nobody knows if you are wearing a new clothes. If it is the normal Ankara that your parents can afford, if it is Guinea, nobody will come and say, "Is this Guinea that you want? Is Ankara? Is this?" No. So the style that you want, go to eat. The only thing is, people get to eat. Some people, they buy ice cream. Some people, they don't buy. Everybody goes home to their own house. What you expect is, okay, they'll bring food for us, even if you don't have food. That's, you understand, that's the norms. But these days, people see a lot of things, and they always want to believe what they see on the social media. And, well, we have seen people started telling themselves that, believe what you see on the social media and just, you know, you're at your own risk. Today, it has so many effects, because even the Prophet ﷺ warned us. I remember that the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make your house so, to the extent that, don't decorate your house to the extent that when people comes in, they feel bad. Like, they see Allah.
They feel intimidated.
Yes, they become ungrateful to Allah. That Allah, you are the one that
did this for this person,
and you didn't give me. So sometimes you just have to hide some of the gifts that Allah has given to you, because Allah no akol. Even lies is real. Some people, they don't even need to do you anything. They just be like, something should just happen to this thing. So we have the askar to protect ourselves, but at the same time, we don't need to flaunt and make people feel sad. What are the intentions behind posting some things on the social media? Sometimes I don't know, sometimes they go, I see people, they will say, they posted one food. People will be feeling like, I wish I should. I say, I don't know how people attach so much importance to those things. People say, I'm salivating, I'm doing this. So you know, you don't need to threaten people. You don't need to make
intimidate them, make them feel inferior.
Yes, make them feel less of themselves. If Allah has given you something, there is this adage of Yoruba that says, even if you finish roasting your yam, then try and protect it. Try and cover it. Not to the extent of not giving other people, but what is the essence of you posting? What is the reason behind it? Because in the mala amalu bin niyat, actions shall be judged according to intention. So don't have that phone. Like, there are so many scholars that have said, so many people will enter fight Jahannam easily just because of their phone. Not because they have bad attitude, not because they, you understand, but they are doing things that can actually cause them lots of harms. Some people, any small thing,
These days we talk of kidnappers. Because when people are going out, they say, I'm at here. I'm going here. I'm going to live here now. I will. So, of course, people can monitor your movements. Why don't you do your things
silently, discreetly?
Exactly. So nobody, you have nothing to fear. You are going, I'm going to service. I'm going for NYC. I'm going to so-so place. We are so-so place. Why do people need that information? Even if you're protecting yourself, it doesn't mean that things will not happen to you. But why do you need to go that extra mile?
Your privacy matters.
It really, really matters. So at this stage, we shouldn't get to the stage whereby I'll just talk to people that are watching things on social media. Some of those things are not actually real.
Make believe.
Yes.
That's the idea.
You don't need to now do as if Allah has not done something for you. What I know that you can't have everything in life. The rich also cry.
Yeah.
So if you don't, some things that you feel that you don't have, other people have it. Some things that they don't have, you actually have it. So sometimes you might not be wealthy, but the little you have, you are not going to the hospital with it. You are not in prison. None of your family is saying, there's problem here. They have break somebody's idea tomorrow. You are just fine. It doesn't mean you will not face your trial because you can't have everything in life. Like I always tell my children, Allah did not give us everything. So I can't give you everything. So if you already have the perception that you won't get everything, even when you are praying 100%, you know that 100% is not what Allah will give you. Allah will still tell you that it's Allah. Because it might be that we have discussed it on this platform, that it might be that that thing is even going to cause you harm. So Allah didn't give it to you at that time. Not because he can't give it to you, but because it felt
it's not in your best interest.
It's not in your best interest. And it might actually keep it for you on the day of Yom Kippur, so that on the day of resurrection, so that you can actually benefit from part of your prayer. So at this stage, we should stop intimidating ourselves. We should stop letting people feel less of themselves. If you have things, do it calmly. Don't do it in a way that people will now feel so bad. Because what Allah gave to you at that time, if you don't guide it jealously, it can actually take it away from you. So don't let some people now be praying that, Allah, I want you to take away that thing. Because they're actually flaunting it. So you don't need those things.
Don't cause people to have envy towards you.
Yes. So that brings us to hasad and giptad. So envy and jealousy. Avoid it to the minimum. It doesn't mean that people will not see you. Chibi will come out of your seat. People will still see you. Yes, now people will see you. People in your office will see that you are well dressed. So why do you need to put it in the whole world? Why do you need to do some things?
Yeah. They want the world to see that. See the way Allah has blessed me.
Yes, it can come like that. Sometimes some people have good intention doing that. Like they want you to just appreciate Allah. But on what ground? Is it only people that you feel that you want them to help you thank Allah?
But there are some people, pepper them gang. We need to pepper them. To them, they have those people they are trying to show, say, you know, get time, I get time. So, you're getting there.
Mentality is actually hurting us.
Seriously.
It's actually hurting us. Because we even now compete on things that are not even reasonable.
Seriously.
Say,
so
I have
many
five
reasons.
And I have six. What's the difference? They'll say even that one, yes, celebrate any win you have. But why don't you just be a grateful servant? Because even Allah doesn't want you to flaunt it. Look at the lesson behind Hajj. If you look at Hajj, you look at the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like, nothing, even if you are the
selflessness,
president of the whole world, you will go there.
That humility.
Without anything.
Seriously.
Just the rapper and you just go. Even if you have billions of naira, you might be sleeping with that beside a pauper that was actually sent by somebody. So, who are you to question? And Allah told you that you are equal
before him.
The only difference is that people that has taqwa, that has the piety of Allah. If you have the fear of Allah, then I can rate you. So it is not a matter of I'm superior. No, what you have today that you feel you're superior to somebody, Allah can actually take it from you.
So we should stop this unnecessary competition. It's not necessary. Okay.
We don't need it. So people are crying at this time, at this point in time. For your state, if our children were to be part of those
there, would
are we going to celebrate like that?
Subhanallah.
So sometimes what I realize from this philosophy of life is, if you feel like something has not affected you and you feel less concerned, it is just a matter of time. Because sometimes we don't understand how Allah operates. Sometimes Allah just wants to see your commitment. He just wants to see your concern for your fellow human being. I told somebody yesterday, I met somebody. I went to buy something for my daughter going back to school. And I met this man. He actually said Teslim. And I was like, are you a Muslim? He said he was not a Muslim. But I said, the Teslim so fine. And while we were discussing, I told him that when we had lunch, Impact luncheon some years back, I said, I was telling some people that Allah, what I understand is Allah created only one Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And he created only one Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What you should understand as human being is that we are all brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Humanity comes before religion.
Irrespective of your ethnic groups, your religion, your anything. So if you, I will trace you back now, say, ah, bro, because him is my brother. You understand?
Yeah.
Because if I trace you back, you will still go back to Nabi Adam.
At least a lot of
you still go back to
Hawa.
So it means that there is no reason why you will tell me that I'm not your sister.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And the man was amazed. He was like, uh-uh. So we got talking. He was talking about Palestine, Iran, and Iraq. And he was, you know, I was looking at the knowledge he has. He was not just brainwashed. He's a Christian, actually. And this morning when I was coming, I actually sent him the link to Empire, to this program. I was doing now. And, you know, he said a lot of things. And I made him realize that this life is just... it's just vanity. We don't have anything that you want to attach so much importance to. Because in the next second, Allah will say, oh yeah, leave it. Even if you fold your hands and hold it tight like this, Allah will say, leave it. And you will leave it and nothing will happen. It doesn't discredit His majesty. It still continues to be. If you die today, this minute, life continues.
Absolutely.
So even if President Buhari died and we continued.
Life continued.
So?
Abacha died on the throne. Life continued.
So,
Yara Adua died.
If Abiola died, oh,
the whole world
is in trouble. Abiola died,
and he died, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing happened.
Nothing. I remember in 1992, 1991, people say, if Abiola died, MK, Abiola, if he died like this, all the America, they will come and. No. Nothing happened, though. Wallahi, nothing happened.
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma ameen. All right. If Eid al-Adha teaches us the value of sacrifice, so what negative habits, attitudes, or lifestyles should we let go of in order to become better, believers and better human beings?
There are a lot of things we should let go.
Negative attitudes,
yes, negative
that we need
attitude,
to forego.
Selfishness. Greed. Know it all, the act of ego, pride,
arrogance,
there are a lot of things to let go. You see primary school children competing among themselves. Why do we need that competition? We actually don't need competition because everybody, we are just like I used to analyze for last student, and I did in so many universities I go to, I tell them that we are just like puzzle. Every one of us is important. Even somebody that you feel like this person is an autism person, everybody is a puzzle. And if one part of the puzzle is missing, it means that the puzzle is not complete.
At all.
That means what you actually want to achieve cannot be achieved. So we are all important. And that's why Allah didn't just want us to waste ourselves. Don't look down on anybody. We all have our own importance. So at this stage in our life, I believe that unity, coming together as one, helping each other get way. The fact that if Allah said it, if He has called out something, if He has destined something, then nobody can
stop
it. The fact that you help somebody does not mean that person is going to be above you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you don't help that person does not mean that person will not get to where you are and will not get above you. So if you realize that with Allah is everything, then you will train softly. Then you will be calm. You will be humble. At this stage that we are celebrating Eid al-Hadiyah, for every one of us, let's let go one bad habit. If it is you are addicted to phone, that you know that you need to reduce, that is not making you to be productive, and you feel that your friend or your sister or your brother is being productive, checkmate yourself. Look at those things, those bad habits you are actually doing. We all know ourselves. Your brother will say, even if you are wicked, you know. You are only looking for somebody that will tell you.
Regardless of the darkness, you know what is in your heart.
Your heart, the light is there for you to show you that this is who you are. So at every point in time, just let go one thing.
For this year, inshallah, I want to leave backbiting. I don't want to gossip about anybody. I don't want to talk about anybody. Because you don't even know, because the Prophet has told us that all those attitudes actually eat up your good deeds. Mm. Just like the fire eats up
the firewood.
Mm. So don't let all those things, don't let it be a leaking bucket.
Mm.
You feel that you are pious, you are a Muslim, you are serving Allah, you are doing this. Well, you're actually blackmailing somebody. Mm. You always ridicule people. You just feel that, no. You don't know where, maybe that's where Allah is actually with. Maybe that's where Shaitan is actually waiting for you.
Mm.
So don't allow Shaitan take over all those good deeds that you are doing. Try as much as possible to work on those bad habits. We all know where we lapse. We all know where we are not getting it right.
Mm.
Except we don't have conscience. You know, at the time, the Prophet Assam says, the heart is like a white plain clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you commit sin, a black dot appears.
Yeah. And psychologists call it tabula rasa.
Yes. So if it got to a stage that you no longer have conscience,
everything is totally dark.
You no longer feel shy, you just want to do things and you feel unquestionable about it, then it has gotten to the peak of it.
Mm.
So, but if you still have some iota of consciousness in you, you would know that what you're actually doing is bad and you actually want to rectify it.
Mm.
So you actually want to feel that, okay, you're not doing what is right and you want to. So your commitment at that time, it doesn't mean that it will go at once.
Uh-huh.
It won't go at once, but gradually. Just pick one thing at a time. Take it gradually and gradually. If you are the type that doesn't observe Salah, okay, let me start gradually. Okay, you observe Salah, you want to add Nawafil to it. Just two raka today. For a year, you can continue two raka. Allah love consistency.
Even if it is small.
Yes, even if it is consistency. Small, just be consistency with whatever you are doing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all we are doing. And may He not deny us the reward.
Allahumma ameen. On a final note now, because we've been discussing it a lot here, and we're saying it goes beyond the meat. So, now, which one matters before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The size of the sacrificial animal, be it goat, ram, sheep, cow, or even camel, or the sincerity of the heart behind the sacrifice in itself. So, as we wrap up, so that at the end of the day, you see, you know, they will say, Turin Chiba Ampani, with all these stories and all these talks.
No.
So, that message that people can take away from today's presentation, so exactly. So, which one matters before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The size of the sacrificial animal, with which you are able to do pepper them, or we are able to show to people that if you've got it, flaunt it. People on the street will say, "Emit your show, few say it's a bunny." So if you've got it, why don't you flaunt it? Yes. So it's yours. So, you know, spark it up and things like that. So which one matters? Is it the size of that animal with which you're able to, you know, intimidate others, or actually the mind, the heart, and the sincerity behind the sacrifice in itself?
Actually, in every worship as a Muslim, it is the sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the extent of you making dua to Allah, Allah wants to see your sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sincerity is what connects you to your Creator.
Mm-hmm.
That sincerity is what really matters.
Okay.
And that is why even when you do fasting, when you fast, Allah says He is the one that quantifies the reward for fasting. Because the sincerity differs.
Mm-hmm.
They are different from physical worship.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual worship has to do with sincerity.
Mm.
To the extent that you want to actually ask Allah for something, you want to do your istikhara, you want to ask Allah for something, there has to be sincerity. Don't make some decision in your heart and dream yourself and be deceived. You know, you don't need to deceive yourself. Don't drag the steering with Allah. Leave the steering with Allah. Let Allah handle the issue. But what Allah sees in your heart, sometimes some people say, I've prayed now and the thing is not coming. Yes, have you checked your sincerity?
Mm.
And that's why the Prophet has encouraged us to do lots of istighfar.
Mm-hmm.
At least when you're cleansed
and
you have a sincere heart.
Mm.
Then anything that comes after it, you know that, okay, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. So let us all work on it. Shaitan will not leave us at any point in time. We always come visiting, wants to spoil what we have done, wants to, you know, just blow it off for us. But we should always checkmate ourselves, call ourselves back to order. That is why you should have righteous people around you. Mm-hmm. Make friends with good people. That even if it is on phone, sometimes on people's status, you remember Allah.
Mm.
On people's status, you remember that we are actually going somewhere. Even if you are deviating, you have people that can drag you and say, no.
Bring you back. Ready.
Yes, bring you back to on track. Mm. And you know, there is this thing that scholars will say, on the day of Yom the Prophet Sam says, if you don't see your fellow sister or your fellow brother in
Opa, ask of them.
Ask that we used to be together. That. Ask Allah. Look at how merciful Allah is.
Allah,
so, Rakazim, I'm saying to you today, we get to Jannah before. And you don't see that. Please ask Allah that we used to come to him for Allah's sake and for Allah's sake.
Inshallah.
That's one of Allah is. Yes.
Allahumma ameen.
And accept whatever we have done. Mm. Grant us that sincerity. That's what we try for Kushu and the class.
Mm.
That sincerity really matters.
Mm.
It is not something you just say, I want to have sincerity. No.
No.
Allah, please give me sincerity in all of my actions. Do I want to come to Empire because I want to come to Empire? No. Have you been coming for the sake of Allah? People tell me, you don't put it on your status, you don't do this, because I don't even remember. I'm just looking for what that day. When you do things to people, don't expect them to thank you. Mm-hmm. Just use that thing to ask something from Allah. So it will reduce, because as human, you will expect that they appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, because you know where you are going, and you don't have a lot of things that you have actually done, because you don't know how that scale is going to be. So any little opportunity, Allah, please, I'm putting this in my book of dates. I'm actually depositing this. So if that person greets you, if he doesn't greet you, you're less concerned. So we pray that our last one, Allah, grant us sincerity of heart and grant us kushu, that's focus in our worship. Because sometimes you just be doing those things. Don't just do them. Don't just waste them. I remember when we were very small, my ustad would say, if you have good intentions, you'll be rewarded. So then all of us will come and say, I want to buy big wall clock in this mosque. I want to build a very big mosque. You can imagine, we as children, we always have that intention then. And it has helped our work. It has helped us build that resilience. Like, we just want to do this.
So for the sake of Allah.
And we are not relenting. And we pray that our last one, help us with our children, our words, our training, our generations to come. Training this part as well. And may our last one, and not deny us the reward. On the days where there will be no deeds except for the rewards of good.
I'd like to thank Hajja Sakina Said for the insight that she has shared on the program, and for, you know, the journey she has taken us through. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the aid from us, all our sacrifices, all the efforts and the attempts to actually unite our families, our communities, using this platform of aid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us as an act of worship. Allahumma ameen. Also like to thank all our listeners. We can't do this without you. We do this and we sustain. We continue doing it because we believe you are out there and we know that you're listening to us. Jazakumullah khairan for listening. And to all those probably who try to call in or send in their message, we know the network, you know, it's been a rainy day. We know the network might actually be doing a whole lot of funny things, but let's keep trying. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us all. Allahumma ameen. Also, use this opportunity to pray for the pilgrims who are completing the rites of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from them. And may Allah, you know, bring them back safely. And for those of us who have been unable, who are also yearning to go, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to be able to fulfill that spiritual, assignment. All right. And I would also like to use the opportunity to call on the government. They stand accountable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially and for the situation of this country. And at the same time, also, you'd like to use this opportunity to condole with the families of all those who have been abducted in Oyo, in Borno State, and other parts of the country. Pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them safe release. May Allah bring them back to their various families. And for those who have been killed, may Allah console the families. Allah also.